Definitely better than the original, right? I had a very difficult time this week. I could only think of one good joke, and it's a lawyer joke. And, you know, of course, Greg, our worship leader, is a lawyer, and so I didn't want to offend him. So, I probably shouldn't tell that joke, right? You want me to tell it even though I would offend Greg? Wow. Sort of a tough crowd, huh? A guy calls up his lawyer's office. The receptionist answers, and he asks for his lawyer. She says, well, I'm sorry, sir, but your lawyer died last week. And he said, oh, okay, and he hangs up. Next day, he calls back, gets the receptionist. He asks for his lawyer. She says, well, I'm sorry, sir, but your lawyer died last week. He says, oh, okay. Hangs up. The next day, calls back, gets the receptionist. He asks for his lawyer. She said, sir, I've told you 3 days in a row your lawyer died last week. You know, why do you keep asking? He said, I just like hearing it. Okay, was that worth defending Greg? Actually, Greg's the one who told me that joke. True confession. I had a hard time deciding what I wanted to be in life. I started off by going to the Naval Academy and becoming a Navy officer. My goal was to become an admiral as quickly as possible. Truth, you know, I'm not joking about that. But I discovered after a few years that there was a price to pay that came with that. Namely, you had to be away from your family for 8 months at a time out at sea, so you couldn't be a very good dad. And so I changed my plans. I left Navy, I went back and got an MBA, and my new goal was to make a lot of money. And I got hired by General Electric in their corporate marketing department. They transferred me here to Cincinnati to work at the Evendale plant. And then I worked at a couple other corporate marketing jobs as well. But along the way, I discovered that the corporate world wasn't very fulfilling either. I just never felt like it was leading me where I wanted to go. You ever felt like that? Like you're doing what you planned to do, you're doing what you thought you wanted to do, but then you discover it's just not really what you thought it would be and not that fulfilling? You know, well, that's where I was anyway. It felt like I was missing something. And so eventually I left the corporate world, and of course I became a pastor. And then for me, everything finally clicked, and I've never really wanted to do anything else since. But I realized something along the way. I realized that God had been preparing me all along to be a pastor. I just had no clue. I never realized. It took me like 37 years to figure that out, who God really made me to be, who I really was. I had set all these other goals that seemed to make sense to me. They seemed to be what I wanted, you know, at the time or, you know, what I thought I wanted, but they never felt right. They never led to fulfillment. But once I discovered who I really was, then I knew what to do. And that's really a principle of life. When you discover who you really are, then you know what to do. I was on the board of a nonprofit organization in Butler County several years ago, and the board was dealing with this huge decision that would make a big financial impact on their bottom line. And they discussed several options about what to do and how to handle it. One of the options was definitely the best financial impact, but it was just a little bit shaky ethically. You know, it wasn't illegal, but it was a little bit underhanded, something that you wouldn't want to advertise to people that you were doing. And I decided that ethically I was not comfortable with taking that option. Now, the other people on the board weren't necessarily Christians. This wasn't a faith-based organization. So I couldn't just say, well, you know, I don't think God wants us to do this. Besides which, it was really kind of a fuzzy issue. It wasn't a clear right or wrong. But at the same time, I knew that the reason I was on that board is because I was a spiritual leader in the community. And spiritual leaders are just expected to deal with and take leadership when it comes to ethical issues. And so I thought, you know, I better start taking some leadership here. And so what I did is I brought up the newspaper test. I said to the board, is this an option that you would take if you knew that tomorrow morning every newspaper in Southwest Ohio had this on their front page? And the board thought about it for a minute, and they decided not to take that option. When you know who you are, you know what to do. And this applies in business, it applies in family and kids, with your friends, with your neighbors, in every area. When you know who you are, you know what to do. Now, the problem for many Christians is that they don't really know who they are in Christ. And because they don't know who they are, they don't know what to do. At banquets or dinners or events, things like that, if I happen to be there, a lot of times people say, oh, it's prayer time. Pastor Ken, will you pray? And sometimes, just to have fun, I'll say, no, that's all right, you go ahead. And it's fun to see people squirm because, you know, they're thinking, no, I can't do that. You know, you're the pastor, you're supposed to do the prayer, you know, and you know, I'm just a regular Christian. You know, I'm just like a stay-at-home mom. You're the pastor. You're the pastor, and I'm just an entry-level bank teller. Or you're the pastor. I'm just a student, and so, you know, I'm just a regular Christian. Let me tell you, if that's the way you think, I'm just a regular Christian, then you do not know who you are. Because if you're a Christian, there is nothing regular about you. You need to understand, you are filled with the same Spirit who created the universe and raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That is not regular. You have access to the throne of God. That is not regular. You have authority to use the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. There is nothing regular about you. In fact, you are an ambassador of the King of Kings, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Because when you know who you are, you know what to do. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. If you're a follower of Christ, if you've turned away from your sins, if you've become a member of God's family, you have a relationship with Christ, then you are a new creation. And did you know that new creations have new purposes? This verse says, the old is gone, the filth, the junk, the sin, the guilt, the shame, all of that is gone. It has no place in you now because you are a new creation. But the problem is that for many of us, we don't understand who we are as a new creation. Imagine a caterpillar that one day becomes a new creation. It goes to sleep for a while, it's in a cocoon for a while, and then it comes out and it's a beautiful butterfly. But somehow this particular caterpillar doesn't realize that it's a new creation, and it keeps acting like a caterpillar. It keeps crawling around everywhere it goes and eating leaves. Wouldn't that be a shame to see a beautiful butterfly crawling around trying to eat leaves? Well, that's what many Christians are like, because they don't understand who they have become in Christ. Paul continues in verse 18. He says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Check this out. God has committed to us something. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're in his family, then he has committed to you the message of reconciliation. That is now your message, it's your calling, it's your ministry. He's committed to you the message of reconciliation. Now some of you are saying, okay Ken, what is the message of reconciliation? Well, it's the good news that people can be reconciled to God, that we can be at peace with God, that we can be made right with God, no longer separated from God by our sin. That's the message of reconciliation. And God has given you that message. He has committed it to you, which means he's depending on you to pass it along to others. And then in verse 20, he says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Notice, ambassador, did you realize that's who you are? When you think about yourself, do you think about yourself as an ambassador of Christ? Let's watch a quick video.
I am outgoing. I am Courtney Skinner. I am a hairstylist.
I am Arlie Smart. I am a chef. I am a father. I am a foster father. I am an instructor.
My name is Danny Easton. I'm a general contractor. I'm a carpenter. I'm a Christian.
I am an ambassador.
I am an ambassador.
I am an ambassador.
No matter what you do, if you're a follower of Christ, you're an ambassador. God has committed to you the message of reconciliation as though he were making his appeal through you. When you know who you are, you know what to do. And this is who you are. You are an ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth. If you're a Christian, that's who you are. You're an ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth. Some of you say, okay, I know what an ambassador is. Others of you are like, well, you know, I'm a little fuzzy about that. What do ambassadors actually do? Can you, like, put it on the second grade level for me? Well, the simplest definition is an ambassador is the highest ranking diplomat sent as a representative from one country to another. For example, if I became the ambassador from the United States to Egypt, then I live in Egypt, but Egypt is not my home. I'm not a citizen of Egypt. You know, my home country is still the United States, but I am the highest ranking diplomat sent from the United States to Egypt. Okay, the same is true for you. If you're a Christian, then who are you? You are the highest ranking diplomat sent from heaven to earth. Now, earth is not your home. Heaven is your real home. Even right now, while you're sitting here this morning, the Bible tells us that heaven is your really real home if you are a follower of Christ. The Bible says you are an alien or a stranger here. Those are the words that Peter uses in the book of Peter. This isn't your real home. Your real home is in heaven the moment you start to follow Christ and become part of God's family. So now you are sent from God as a representative, as an ambassador, from your real home in heaven to earth. You're sent to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you know who you are, you know what to do. You're Christ's ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth. Now, some of you go, hold on a cotton picking second. Me, an ambassador? I don't think so. You know, Ken, if I ask my friends, you know, am I an ambassador? They'd say, no, you're not an ambassador. You're a mess. You know, you don't know the Bible, you mess up continually, you say stupid things, you're not an ambassador. Listen to me, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about you, you are an ambassador, if you're a Christian. You see, an ambassador is not elected by other people. It doesn't matter what other people think about you. An ambassador is appointed by the commander-in-chief. As Christ's ambassadors, you are not elected by people. You are chosen and appointed by God. So it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. They don't get a vote. You were chosen and appointed by God. Jesus said in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. As it is, you do not belong to the world. Notice, you don't belong to the world. This isn't your home. You're not a citizen of earth anymore. You're a citizen of heaven, but you're sent here as an ambassador. He says, I have chosen you out of the world. Jesus says to each of you this morning, I chose you and I appointed you, so it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. So number one, you were chosen and appointed as God's ambassador to a certain group of people. You're chosen and appointed to bear fruit, to represent the King of the Kingdom, to be his ambassador, his highest appointed representative sent from heaven to earth. You say, well, I don't feel good enough. I'm not holy enough. I haven't been a Christian long enough. I still sin. I still blow it. I'm not good enough. Makes no difference at all, because you were not chosen based on how good you are. When you were back in grade school or middle school, did you ever get to do a special errand for the teacher? You know, one of my favorite things is, you know, the teacher would ask, you know, somebody do an errand, like, can you take a message to the principal's office? And you know, I would love to be picked by the teacher to go do this, you know, while all my loser buddies had to stay in class. You know, and so the teacher would ask, you know, does somebody want to take something to the principal's office? And I'd go, oh, yeah, please choose me, pick me, you know. And the teacher didn't pick the person who had the best grades or who always behaved all the time. No, usually it was the person who had their hand up first, or, you know, she'd just choose somebody. And then the teacher would take a little piece of paper and write out a hall pass for you, right? And so, you know, she'd give you the hall pass, and you put that in your pocket, and whoa, you are so cool. And, you know, you go out in the hall, and you're sort of taking your time, of course, right? Because, you know, as soon as you're done with this, you have to go back in class. So you're sort of sauntering down the hallway, looking in the other classrooms, and your buddies in the other classrooms, they look out, and they say, what are you doing out there? And you say, I got a hall pass. I was chosen and appointed by my teacher. I'm on a special mission. And if a teacher runs across you out there and they go, you know, what are you doing out here? And you say, hey, I got a hall pass, baby. You know, I was chosen. I was appointed. I'm on a mission. May not be the best, but doesn't matter. I got chosen. The good news for you today, if your friends say you're not good enough, if your family says you never have been good enough, you can just pull out your hall pass. Say, hey, John 15:16, it's my hall pass. God says, I am good enough. And by the way, he's the King of Kings, and you're not. God has chosen me and appointed me, and he thinks I am good enough. When you know who you are, you know what to do. When you know who you are and you get that down deep inside of you, so it's not just like intellectual knowledge, but it's true heart belief. When you know who you are, then everything changes. Because when you know who you are, you know what to do. You can see this happen in the Apostle Paul's life. He wrote the scripture we looked at earlier, therefore you are Christ's ambassador, as though God were making his appeal through you. But Paul didn't start out that way. As an ambassador, he started out as the number one persecutor of the Christian church. In fact, nobody in this room, no matter how bad a background you have, nobody here has hurt the church as much as Paul did. But God chose him, appointed him, and turned his life around, which is exactly what God has done with many of us here. In Acts 9:15, God said about Paul, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles. In other words, he's my ambassador to the Gentiles. I've chosen and appointed him to represent the kingdom of heaven to the Gentiles. He's my chosen instrument, my ambassador. Did you know that you are just like Paul? You were chosen by God as an ambassador to a certain group of people. Paul was God's ambassador to the Gentiles. You are God's ambassador to a certain group of people. What group is that? It might be the people you work with. It might be the people in your family. It might be the people on your sports team. Or you could be God's ambassador to kids here on Sunday morning in our children's ministry. Or to the people that we help on Monday night through the Helping Hands Pantry. Or you could be an ambassador to the people you connect with on Facebook. But you are God's ambassador to a certain group of people. Maybe you're chosen to lead a small group, and so you're God's instrument in investing your life in building up people in that small group. Maybe you're God's ambassador to that coworker that is hurting, or to the boss that nobody likes. You are God's ambassador, chosen and appointed by God, sent by the King to represent the kingdom of God. Sent from your real home in heaven to a certain group of people on earth. And when you know who you are, you know what to do. Let's watch another video.
I'd gone through a divorce. My biological father died. I had a change of career. My house had burned down. And I really felt like God couldn't use me because I'd been in church, but I was far from where God would have me. And so I was just kind of hiding out at Crossroads. And then I hear God calling me to say, leadership, do something. And fast forward to November 14th, 2012, and I go to Frisch's in Fort Wright, a really sacred place, and go to pray about things and meet a guy there that I want to talk about ministry with, because I'd seen where Lifeline of Northern Kentucky and Isaiah House had been running out of supply, and the need was really big because of the economic climate where, you know, ministries that help people just didn't have a lot of resources. And so I sketch on a piece of paper, hey, God, if I had a truck, if we had a warehouse, we had some partners to give some stuff, that would really be great because we could, you know, help these ministries get the job done. And Mark and I prayed over it and went away. And within 48 hours, I was given a truck completely free. And within 48 hours of that, I was signing the title of the truck, and I get a phone call. He said, hey, you still want to do some kind of food ministry? And I said, yeah. He said, well, I got 12 pallets of food, but you got to come get it today. Do you have a way to do it? And I'm like, well, I'm actually signing the title of the truck right now, so I'll be right over. And I called my wife, said, gonna be late, honey. Then coming back, we talked to a guy about being able to put some stuff in a warehouse. And then over the next week, I'm given 400 hot meals to give away, a semi-load of Thanksgiving meals to distribute, 1,000 coats, and then 19 more pallets of food that we're able to give to Isaiah House to distribute to people as they need it. And then every day my phone's ringing, come get this, come get this, come get this. And I get to December 5th, and I tell my wife, Angie, who I met at Crossroads, and that in itself is a whole different story. And I said, hey, honey, I feel like God's calling me to resource ministry. And she goes, you want to quit your job? She's like, it's almost Christmas, and we have 5 kids. And I'm like, yeah, that's totally reasonable reaction, you know? And I'm like, God's not schizophrenic. He's not going to tell me one thing and you another. So if you're not in, I'm not in. But I'm just telling you, it's killing me working 2 jobs, you know, essentially. And so the next day she sends me a text and she says, I trust God. I trust you. I'm all in. Do whatever steps are necessary to do the next thing. And I went into my boss and said, hey, man, I quit. He's like, I wondered how much longer you were going to be. You got a lot of food to give away. It's Christmas. Let me write you your last check so you got some stuff for Christmas. Send me your electric bill. I'll pay that too. And, you know, not the reaction I expected from him at all. And since then, he comes down and cooks food for our ministry. And as I leave that job, Master Provisions food distribution is born out of this. And as we look to say, you know, hey, all these ministries need help. And it wasn't just Lifeline and just Isaiah House. And so I keep getting more phone calls and here, come get this, get this, get this. And over the last 9 months, now at Master Provisions, we're giving away 150,000 to 200,000 pounds of product to 150 plus ministries and groups in the greater Cincinnati area so they can further the kingdom of God in their own communities, and we do it completely for free.
John, in that video, discovered that he was someone different than he had really thought, and it required some big changes in his life. Because when you know who you are, you know what to do. You are God's chosen instrument, his ambassador, with a message of reconciliation, which he has committed to you as though God were making his appeal through you. And it doesn't matter what any other person thinks, because you are chosen and appointed by God. That's the first thing to remember about being an ambassador. You are not elected by people. You are chosen and appointed by God. The second thing to remember is that as Christ's ambassador, you never represent yourself. You always represent God. You never represent yourself. You know, if you were the ambassador to Egypt from the United States, you don't go and promote your own agenda, your own ideas, your own values. No, you represent the government that sent you. You represent the government of the United States to Egypt. Same thing as a Christian. You represent the kingdom of God. You represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's never about you. It's always about the King's agenda, your King's values and ideas. Jesus was the ultimate ambassador from heaven. What did he say about it? In John 6:38, he says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." We are also ambassadors. And we say exactly the same thing. We say with Christ, "I am sent as an ambassador from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." I'm here to represent him. I'm called to represent Christ in everything I do. One time I was talking to a pastor friend of mine named Steve. And before Steve was a Vineyard pastor, he was in another denomination. He was telling me that when he was a brand new pastor, another older pastor from his denomination gave him some advice. He said, "Steve, now that you're a pastor," he said, "you know, people are going to try and put you up on a pedestal. And you're just hurting yourself if you try to get down off it." In other words, he was saying, yeah, go ahead and try and pretend that you're something you're not. Try and pretend that you're more holy than everybody else, that you never sin. Well, Steve didn't go for that. And I don't either. Because the way to be an ambassador is not to pretend to be something you're not. That is not what it's about. Now, I think it really helps me that I actually had two careers before I became a pastor, because whatever you may go through in life or at work, I've been there. You know, I met some really rough people in the Navy, and you know, I blew it many times with them. I lost my temper. I made mistakes. I was a bad ambassador at times. And same thing at home. I've been a pretty poor ambassador there as well. You know, it's funny, I remember one story I told that's probably gotten more reaction from people than just about anything else. So when my kids were younger, you know how kids have all these electronic toys that need batteries all the time, right? And they use up the batteries constantly. And, you know, when their batteries run out, where do they get more batteries from? Well, if you don't happen to have a package right there, what they do at our house at least is they go to the TV remote and they take them out of there, right? And so one evening, you know, I get the TV remote and try, it doesn't work, and then I realize, oh, no batteries in it, okay? And so I get the DVD remote, no batteries. And I'm starting to get a little frustrated at this point, and you know, I get the cable remote, no batteries. And I got the stereo remote, no batteries. And by this time, I am steaming, and I started throwing these remotes up in the air, and I have had it, this is enough, you no more of this. And, you know, it was not my finest day as a father. And, you know, when I told that story, people were coming up to me and saying, you know, Ken, not only are you a normal person, but you're, like, less mature than me. You know, and I think it really gave people a lot of satisfaction to hear that. But you see, I'm an ambassador in my family and to my kids, but I'm not always a great ambassador. You know, sometimes I really blow it. But you know what? God has never fired me from being ambassador. Isn't that funny? You know, he lets me go on being an ambassador. In fact, he says it doesn't matter what you've done, because it's not about how good you are, how perfect you are. He says, "I have chosen you and appointed you, not based on what you've done, but simply on the fact that you are my follower." He says, so go do it. Go be an ambassador. He chose and appointed me, not based on me being perfect or even being the best. He made me his ambassador to a certain group of people as if he were making his appeal through me. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to a guy who lives in Texas. He just got laid off, having a hard time. And I found out that he used to be a leader in his church, but then he got really hurt through some circumstances and completely dropped out, hasn't been to church since. And I was able to encourage him and say, you know, when you got hurt before, that was not God. In fact, God hurt just as much as you did. He was not behind that. And he wants you to come back to him. In fact, he loves you more than ever. And the guy told me, yeah, you know, I think you're right. I think God really does still have a purpose for my life. And he went on and he said that, in fact, I think, you know, Ken probably God set this whole thing up so I was talking to you because he wanted me to hear that. And you see, that's what an ambassador does. It wasn't anything complicated or difficult. I wasn't inviting him to church. He lives in Texas. I wasn't quoting scriptures at him. I just gave him some simple encouragement, speaking for God. But you see, I had a message that he needed at that moment. I was God's ambassador to him at that moment. And when you know who you are, you know what to do. When you know who you are and you know what to do, I promise you, you will see opportunities like that again and again and again and again because you're his ambassador. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:8, I may seem to be boasting too much about the authority given to us by the Lord, but our authority builds you up. It doesn't tear you down. So I will not be ashamed of using my authority. As an ambassador of God, you have some authority to speak and act for God. You have some authority. And Paul says we should not be ashamed of using that authority. Now, it's not my power, it's not my authority. For example, if I stood out in the middle of the street with cars coming by and I held up my hand and told them to stop, what could they do? You could just run over me, basically, because I don't have any authority to go out there and direct traffic, right? But if I have a badge and a uniform that says that I'm a policeman, and then I go out there and start directing traffic, what should you probably do? You should probably stop if I tell you. If you don't, I'll shoot you. You know, now, a good cop might not actually shoot you if you don't stop, but I have authority issues, so I probably would. So, you know, if I tell you to stop, you better stop. Because it's not just me standing out there telling you to stop. Behind me, I have all the authority of the government, right? As an ambassador to the kingdom, you have authority standing behind you. It's like when my kids were little and Brian would come in and say, you know, Dad, Joel keeps doing this and you know, he won't stop. And I said, yeah, well, just tell him to stop. Well, he won't stop. And so what do I say next? Tell him that Dad said he better stop, right? So now he can go back in and talk to Joel and say, hey, I'm on a mission. I've got it. I'm an ambassador with a message from the king of the house. And he says, you better stop, right? He's got a little more authority, just like you do. That's exactly what you do. You come in the authority that's been given to you. As an ambassador to the people around you, you speak with the authority of the king, and you act with the authority of the king. Here's what's crazy about first century believers. They understood their power was in Jesus, not in themselves, but they had the authority to use his name, and they knew that. And so they would go, sick person, I've got no power to heal you myself, but in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. And the person was healed. And they'd go, demon-possessed person, I have no control over demons myself, but in the name of Jesus Christ, demon come out. And it did. And the New Testament says that we as believers can do even greater things than that. Why? Because we are not regular Christians. There is no such thing as a regular Christian. You are an ambassador of Christ, appointed and called by God to represent heaven on earth. You are not elected by people. You are chosen and appointed by God. You carry with you the message of reconciliation as if God were making his appeal through you, and you never represent yourself. You always represent God. Why? Because, like Paul, you can say, I am a new creation. The old is gone. It's done with. The new has come, and God has committed to me the good news of reconciliation. That means that you are not just a stay-at-home mom. You're an ambassador raising next-generation world changers. You're an ambassador. You're chosen and appointed by God. That means you are not just a student. You are an ambassador to your chemistry class. You're an ambassador to the football team. You're an ambassador to your teachers there. You are not just an entry-level bank teller. You are a secret agent of the Most High God placed in that corporation, in that bank, to represent Christ to the people there. You're an ambassador with the power and authority of the King behind you. And when you know who you are, you know what to do. When you know that you're an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, not elected by people, but chosen and appointed by God, that you never represent yourself, but always represent Him. When you know that this is not your home, you're from another country, you're a citizen of heaven, you represent the King from the kingdom of heaven that sent you, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. When you know that there is nothing regular about you because you are the highest ranking diplomat sent by God from the kingdom of heaven to earth, when you know who you are, you will know what to do. Let's stand for prayer. I'd like our worship band to come forward. We close us in worship. As they do, let's bow together. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would make this moment a significant moment for all of us who are Christians. That you would move this from a head knowledge into a heart calling. That we would be different today, God, because we've been with you. For those of you here this morning who are Christians, you are called to be an ambassador. I want you to think right now about the people that you know that are connected to God, that are not connected to God. I want you to think about them, whether it's in your family or your work, the people you see in the gym or the people you bump into at the cleaners, when you're getting your coffee, your friends on Facebook, wherever it might be. I want you to think about them. You are an ambassador to them. Paul was called to the Gentiles. You are called to them. You're God's chosen instrument. And so, Lord, we pray right now for all those people that are coming to our minds that their lives would be different because people here this morning will act as ambassadors to them with your power, your authority behind them. We pray, God, that we would be Holy Spirit-filled, overcoming, salt of the earth, light of the world, ambassadors of yours, reaching out to everyone around us that doesn't know you. Thank you for committing to us the message of reconciliation as your representatives to this world. This morning, if there is anyone who you're not sure if you have a relationship with Christ, you're not sure that you're part of God's family right now and lasting for eternity, you can make that decision right now. Just say along in your heart something like this. God will hear you. Just say, Heavenly Father, please take my life. I recognize that I'm a sinner. Please save me. Jesus, make me new. I believe that you died for me and then rose again so that I could live for you. Please fill me with your Spirit. Give me strength to follow you. Make me your ambassador to represent you here on earth. Thank you for new life. You now have mine in Jesus' name. Amen.